If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are going to talk about the family-related issues according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about family-related issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas, let me ask you this question. Is it permissible for married couples to watch pornography or pornographic, movies in their own homes?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is not permissible to watch pornography or such, you know, videos or films in their homes, you know, wherever they are. It's not permissible, and no matter what the justification, it's not permissible for a married man and a married woman to watch such films. And because maybe some people want to justify themselves because they want to have more pleasure, you know, they want to make it a better experience, which is not actually, you know, approved of by the Islamic Sharia, okay? Mm-hmm. Using video and watching such things to arouse themselves and then to have that experience and finally the sexual intercourse, it's not permissible to watch such things.
What about other excuses or other reasons for them? Like, for example, one of them you mentioned, in order to arouse their own desires, for example. For one thing, for example, if they are very much young and they are newly married, they can learn a lot from
it. You're right. They do make such excuse because they want to show, they want to say that, okay, they want to know the method or the technique or something to approach their wives or their spouse, you know, in a better way, to make it a pleasant experience for the wife or for the husband. Such excuses are not acceptable. And so it's not permissible for the man or the woman to let's say, to watch adult content movies or pornographic films.
Mm-hmm. One may ask a question quite related to that, and that is sex education then. In some of the, you know, schools in the West, when you send out your kids to the school, they are always exposed to such issues. Is that allowed?
You know, you are right. You know, there are some schools in the West with such a syllabus, you know. The religious authorities, generally speaking, have said that it is necessary to avoid taking such credits or units or, let's say, take such class.
But it's not selective.
You're right. If it is possible, but if it's not possible, then if someone can't help avoiding it, then he's not to blame, in fact.
So sex education is not...
It's not permissible, per se, because it has more disastrous effects or consequences rather than benefits.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Javid, another question that might pop up very much is that, is dancing without music in women's gatherings haram or halal? If it is haram, what happens to those people who are present there? Should they leave those events?
According to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, men's dancing is, as a measure of obligatory precaution, haram. So, and in the gathering that you mentioned. And if a woman's dancing among women is categorized as lahw or lahw la'ib, okay, they translate lahw as debauchery, or I can call it, let's say, a gathering of amusement and entertainment, which is very broad, and because we don't have a proper, unfortunately, a proper synonym or definition for lahw. And we need to use the word lahw, which is an Arabic word. And many Muslim audience, of course, listeners, do understand what lahw is. Mm-hmm. So if something is considered in common view as frivolous, as licentious, as promiscuous, it is not permissible. So, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, if a woman's dancing within a gathering of women is categorized as islah, then of course it is not permissible. Mm-hmm. And Ayatollah Khamenei actually terms it as problematic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Problematic means that there is problem in it.
Right.
And it's better,
so it's better to avoid
it. Yeah, it's better to avoid it. And of course, Ayatollah Khamenei does not give an explicit fatwa or a straightforward fatwa. There is no fatwa here. His Eminence actually exercises precaution. He says, based on obligatory precaution, such a woman should not dance in such places. And of course, if dancing entails or leads to some vile consequences or sexual excitation or committing a haram act, like, for example, there is haram music, there is haram singing or haram song is being played, and also maybe if there is a non-mahram there, or if these are there, of course, if one of them is there, then it's not permissible, you know, and of course one should avoid it.
Thank you, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about family-related issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. We talked about dancing, Sheikh Javid, just before the break, and just wanted to ask a question quite related to that issue or concept. And that is, you know, you mentioned that, you know, it's impermissible for a man to participate in women's gatherings when there is dance involved, when there's music involved, you know?
Yes.
Or laugh, as you said. But what about the men's dancing for themselves or women's dancing for themselves?
You know, again, I should repeat myself by saying that if, you know, participating in dancing, you know, parties, because it's a kind of party in which men or women dance and they, let's say, enjoy themselves by dancing.
Yes.
So if participating in such gatherings or parties is done by, you know, supporting the commission of the haram act, and it, or if it leads to, you know, committing a haram act, it is not permissible. And as I said, that if, let's say, dancing is accompanied by haram music, by haram song, or it is leads to some vile or bad consequences, of course, it is not permissible for a man to dance in a gathering of men or a woman to dance in a gathering of women.
I see. What about, you know, watching men or little girls dancing on television and so on? I'm talking about the men watching them.
Well, little or young girls or boys are not supposed to do anything because they have not attained the age of puberty. Mm-hmm. When we talk about young girls or young boys, we do consider them as children who are below the age of maturity or below the age of adulthood. So they themselves...
We are not talking about underage. We are talking about jurisprudential age, right?
Sure, yeah, of course. Because a girl attains the age of puberty at the completion of 9 lunar years, and a boy attains the age of puberty at the completion of 15 lunar years. So
Islamic age is different from legal age.
Sure, of course. So they themselves are not supposed to do, but it's always, according to His Eminence, necessary to encourage them not to dissuade them,
mm-hmm.
and not to allow them to participate in such activities, to dance for others, and to help them dance, because you know it will have negative consequences. But of course, as children, they themselves are not under any obligation, and they will not be held responsible for whatever they do as long as they are young, mm-hmm. and below the age of puberty.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا